Joe Biden, and you're listening to Legit Bat Podcast. And now your hosts, Jim, Jan, and Bland.
Well, welcome back to Legit Bat. I'm Joe. Jen can't be here, and Ben is not here yet either. So we'll see how that goes. Been a couple weeks in a row now where it's not all three of us, but we make do. You know, it works out. What was I going to mention off the top? Oh, I'll include a link in the show notes, but we had somebody actually mention our show on their live stream yesterday or the day before. And it was from a show we did with Matthew Lane. If y'all remember, if you listened to that show about the Joe Gilberti guy that had the water that he found in his backyard, that whole show. Anyway, it got mentioned on somebody else's show, and he completely disagreed with the guest, Matthew, but that's fine. Everybody's free to their own opinions, and I'm not going to reach out to him. But if you're interested in watching his take on that, I'll include the link in the show notes. What else do we have? I think that might be pretty much it. Oh, it's Pride Month, so happy Pride. Oh, yeah.
You are gay.
Yeah. Actually, I want to know, is there any gay people that listen to our show? I imagine there is. I mean, why wouldn't you? We don't rag on you too much. You know?
Why are you gay?
So if you're a gay, reach out and we'll say, hey, it's fine. But tonight we have Mr. Arthur Gorman coming on. And this is somebody who used to go to our church back in the day, actually, when I was very young. And he just so happens to live in the same town still, and he's on my courier route for my job. So it was interesting. And I he's on Facebook, and I'll include a link to his Facebook too, but he's always posting great stuff right down the vein of what we talk about. And he just sent me something yesterday. Pretty frustrated with current politicians, staffers, all that stuff. He's a union rep, I don't want to read the county name, but the county school board member and a couple other little like committees and stuff like that. And so, that's just kind of a basic overview. I'll let you introduce yourself and what you do and what your kind of your drive is, because I can see it in your posts. So what's your main goal?
The main goal, we really got activated during the mandates, 4 years ago or before COVID came. Let's say we're just fine. We're working our jobs. We're going on vacation, hanging out, doing family stuff. Kids sports, ministry, football, all the things that you would do. Then, of course, COVID comes, right? Shuts the world down. You know, they start telling you, even though you've worked, you've had COVID multiple times, now you need to get this vaccine against something that you've already lived through three times. We said no. You know, we had protests. We fought back against all the mandates. They said, you're going to lose your job. Thank God we didn't lose our jobs. We fought back against the state on that. And, that really told us a lot. We were going through the school boards. We were going to city councils. We were going to board of supervisors. And everybody wanted to pass the buck. They're like, well, that's not my jurisdiction. That's not my authority. Go to your state representatives. We're like, okay, well, we'll go to the state representatives. They said, well, you guys are doing everything wrong. Let's teach you how to lobby. You know, don't pray for me, pay for me type thing. So you're doing this pay for play at the state level. All the way up to, there's only a few politicians that actually helped us out that actually had some skin in the game. Doug LaMalfa helped us out a lot. Patrick Jones locally helped us out a lot. There's a few other guys in there too, Les Baugh. So we came to understand that when you are actually faced with something, you know, where you're going to lose your job, are you resolved in the fact that you could lose everything and sleep on grandma's floor if it's something that you really want to stand up for? And local control is everything. So it doesn't matter where you live in the United States, doesn't matter what country you live in. The thing is, like, if you have the ability to control what happens in your own backyard, you have the ability to run for school boards, city councils, supervisors, and control your own town and county just the way that you want, and to influence the people around you. Because most of the time, you live in a geographic area where people like Shasta County love it here. They want to be here. It's a little bit more rural. They like the lifestyle. And we pretty much agree on most things. There's some things that, we're not always going to agree on. But for the most things, we all want to raise our families. We all want a good job. We all want to go on a vacation. And those are things that are common ground. And when the state comes in to take those things away, well, people get upset, people get mad, and people get activated. And that's kind of where we are. we told everybody to run for school boards. And so I ran for the county school board here in Shasta County and won my race. Several of others of us did. I got activated. I joined the, I'm a union rep with our nurses union. I work at an acute care hospital here in town. Because if we're not going to protect each other at our own work site, then who is, right? We got involved in politics. So we ran several campaigns. I have to say over half of our candidates that we've run have won. And it's only through grit, hard work, and determination. We've joined the Republican Central Committee, which before 4 years ago, I had no clue what a Central Committee was. But every county has a Central Committee, whether it's a Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, doesn't matter. You have a Central Committee in your county, which is a position that you can use to get your candidates elected. So we joined that. So we just became active, a little bit more involved in politics and careers. And before that, we were just on the Pee Wee football boards. We were we ran a youth ministry called Upward Sports through our church, which was awesome. Got a lot of kids to play football, told people about Jesus. It was great times. And that's kind of where we're at right now. The frustration, and it's just an election year, so the crazy things are going to happen, and it's gonna, you know, looking at going to jail, right? There's going to be some fights, some law going in there, but things are going to get weird all the way until November, so expect some weird things to happen. I didn't think that that was the case a long time ago, but when Candace Owens and all those other people are talking, they're like, hey, some bad stuff is going to happen in 2020. I'm like, oh, no, that's nothing's going to happen. And things got crazy in 2020. So things will get crazy this year, too. So be prepared. But locally, we have a lot more control than we do at the state level and federal level. And we can get along and we can make great things happen here in Shasta County.
Yeah, so I'm glad you're, because I noticed that was one of your main things is focusing on the local aspects of politics rather than the federal or state, because that seems to be out of our control. Our listeners know exactly how I stand with voting, and we all pretty much are in agreement that it's a selection, not an election. You can go as deep in the conspiracy rabbit hole as you want on that, but it does seem like it's a, I mean, I think they call it political theater for a reason, because it's
right.
It looks like a stage player. It looks to me like things are scripted, and maybe it's not down to the T, but I think they have contingencies in place where if this happens, then do this. If this happens, you know, oh, this happened, so do this now. It just seems like it's playing out like a movie for us. But like you said, you can affect things more on your local level, especially if you get involved by running for city council and, you know, all those things. But there's still such a, the way it works, at least now, is that the bigger decisions are made on the federal level. So it sucks that we don't have as much control there because, or, you know, perceived control, whatever, but it trickles down to us. And so you can kind of affect things you don't like from the federal level at a local level, but there's still, I mean, I work for a huge corporation and they do whatever the hell they want, and it doesn't matter, you know, I mean, laws obviously matter, but like when it came down to the vaccine mandates or anything like that, I could have been out of a job. Luckily, my company decided not just to kind of skate over it and be like, get it if you want, we don't really care. And so that was nice, but there's a lot of people that lost their jobs just from that, and it wasn't even a law. What do they mean by mandate? It just means that some politician stepped in and said, "Hey, you got to do this because we said so, because the CDC or the WHO said that you had to do it." And all of a sudden, everyone took that as law. But what do you think as far as like control at the federal level? What's your opinion on federal and you know, the bigger areas of politics, senators, and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's really interesting, because when you get down to, like, let's say local level, you have the ability to say no, and you have the money to say no when you're on a board. So if they pass something at the federal level that you really don't like, being on a city council or supervisor or even on a school board, you have jurisdiction and authority over that demographic, and you can put in policy in place just to tell if they pass a horrible policy, you're like, no, we're just not going to do that here. And most people don't know that they have the jurisdiction to do that. So at the federal level, that's where the political theater, like you're talking about, says, because they'll say things like, if schools don't agree with us, we're going to pull their funding. Well, they also put laws in several, you know, longer than I've been alive that said every child should have a free and equal education. So you can't pull a school's funding. But all the politicians are going to say, oh, we're going to pull their funding. We're not going to give them funding. No, actually, you will, because you already put it into law that you will do that. Right.
So they'll do the empty threats, basically.
Right. Yeah. So if you don't agree with me, we'll pull your funding. Well, you can't do that. You know, same thing when it came to the vaccine mandates. And they said, well, you know, they get Joe Biden out there and he's like, everybody's going to get this. And if you don't get it, then companies were going to pull your funding. Well, no, they didn't actually pull any funding from any federal agencies or any county governments. They made it a condition employment for the ones that were really wanted people to get vaccines, and the people that didn't, like Walmart, FedEx, even the other hospitals. Most hospitals were like, hey, just fill out this form and check this box. We don't care. Just go to work. Right. And that's the way it should have been. But there's a lot of political theater, and the money thing. I mean, it's just a racket. Right. If me and you wanted to run, I think everybody understands, like, because of the money involved, you will never get the money. And being on the central committee, we learn all these things like waterfalls, all these ways that you can subvert the will of the people by legally laundering money so that candidates that should never get elected have more ability to be in the public eye.
Oh, yeah. I think that's pretty much understood across the board now, that the money just runs everything. And there's such a fee of entry to even get anywhere close to being on the ballot for president that
right.
It's like a pipe dream. Like I was talking to my wife the other day that, you know, they tell us, oh, you can be whatever you want to be. It's America. And nope, you can't. You can try. You can try to be whatever you want, but you absolutely cannot be whatever you want to be. That's not how it works.
The one thing we have going for us that you could, and this is what I've said before, because people like to complain about, let's say, congressmen or even the state assembly or whatnot, you can file, if you have a couple thousand bucks, you can file to get on the ticket in your local area for state assembly, state senate, and Congress, just to poke somebody in the eye, just to poke the tiger and let them feel that frustration. And that's where the beauty of like the Libertarian Party comes in, like a third party. Because if a third party starts getting actively involved, they can actually put pressure even up to the federal level and say, hey, we're just going to run people against you, or we are going to make sure that our vote is going to go to the other side if you don't listen to what we have to say. So these third parties don't understand yet how much control they have. And that's why I'm really happy that Kennedy's running this time. I like him for a lot of different reasons. I don't like all the reasons, like everything he stands for. But it does give people a different option. And then we can see how much it's actually costing him. That's why me and you can't run, because how much money he had to raise to actually run as a third party candidate is crazy. But you can actually do that much cheaper at a local level and for Congress in the Senate.
Yeah. And at a local level, it's a lot easier to get your name out there, a lot cheaper too than to get it, you know, nationally, because that's where a lot of the money comes in, is just exposure and people knowing who you are. I mean, Barack Obama popped out of nowhere, like nobody knew who he was, and all of a sudden he was the front runner, and it was like, where'd this guy come from? Guess what? He had the money to put out there and get his name and face out there, and everybody knew who he was. But what do you think about, I don't want to get too far into the weeds in this, because this will go out on YouTube, and YouTube is a dick about a lot of things, but like, what do you think about the potential election shenanigans that go on? I was just talking to my friend the other day. I'm like, so I'm neither side. I would vote third party if there was a good candidate for a third party, but I just haven't seen one. And I think it does is split the vote even more. So living in this country, you know, it's going to come down to a Republican or Democrat. That's how it's always been. There'd have to be some massive upheaval for it to ever get to a third party. Yeah. You could vote for a third party in principle. Sure. Right. But what I was telling my buddy, I'm like, the way that it's set up, you're never going to have an actual choice. That's why I always call it a selection. It's the illusion of choice. Right. And it's so where were we going with that?
Election
stuff. So every 4 years the other side claims the other side was rigging it. So 2016 it was obviously rigged. It was Russia collusion, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Then in 2020 the other side saying, obviously they stole a vote. There's no way this old fart got that many votes. But the media is saying it's the most secure election we've ever had. Stop looking into it. This year is going to be no different. No matter who wins, they're going to say they stole it. So what do you think? With digital voting and all that, it seems pretty obvious. But what do you think?
Right. Yeah. So there is ways that you can influence an election for sure. I mean, with money, you can buy a lot of things. And in California, for instance, it's perfectly legal for us to vote harvest in California. I mean, you can go out, we can knock on all the doors, we can ask people for their ballots, they can fill it out, we can walk it in, we can turn it in for them. There's no problem. That's totally legal. In California, they made it perfectly legal. It used to be like you'd have to know the person, they'd have to sign it over to you, you'd have to go drop it off. Now anybody can just walk up to whoever they want. Hey, I'll drop it off for you. How's that? And that's perfectly fine. You just can't pay person based on how many votes that they bring in. You can pay them hourly, you can pay them a salary, you can give them a bonus. You just can't pay them per ballot that you harvest. And that's in California, where other states, they have laws against that. So California kind of disenfranchises other states, but there's a different issue. So I think the shenanigans are going to come. And if you watch Timcast last podcast, they had some guys in Pennsylvania that are doing some things, but it's going to come down to key states that are able to decide a vote within 50 to 60,000 and people actively ballot harvesting in those states. So those will be the shenanigans that get the electoral college to where they want it. And that's where the Democrats and the Republicans are spending all their money, to get boots on the ground in all those key swing states that won Biden his election last time. And so the Republicans are finally actively doing legal things the way that you should if you want to win. Some people don't like ballot harvesting, but they've allowed it, and it's a legal means to the rules. So if you don't play by the rules, you're going to lose the game every time.
Yeah, I mean, if it's legal, then you might as well. I'm talking about
like
more
ballot
of the
harvesting or not. So
yeah. I'm talking about more of the potentially illegal things, but dead people voting, things like that.
So you will. I mean, in Shasta County, they've actually had dead people vote.
And, I imagine.
One of the funniest things they have, there's places in town, there's a lot of people that have done this. They've gone out and they look, because everybody has the ability to go down to their elections office, get the data, find out who's voting, and you go to a warehouse here in town where no one lives, but someone voted from that location, right? You're like, okay, well, how did someone vote from the warehouse? Do they actually live there? Do they just put that as their address? Oh, actually, no one lives there. It's an empty lot. This has happened around the whole United States. So they need to clean up voter rolls, and because they don't, and I'll tell you where my conspiracy theory brain is, because if I was, you know, the rule of every... rule everything, the main evil, and I was in charge here in California, the Secretary of State, I already have, you know, who votes in every election. I know the 4 out of 4 voters, the 3 out of 4 voters, high propensity voters. I know who never votes in an election. I know who votes 1 out of every 4 elections. I know who only votes in a presidential election, and some people don't vote in the primary. And they sell all this data from your local elections off third parties, and this is how we know all this information, right? So I could go to my buddy Jeff and say, hey Jeff, did you vote? And he would say, oh no, I'm gonna vote today. And this actually happened here in Shasta County. He goes down there with his ballot and they say, oh sorry Jeff, you already voted. He said, no I didn't, I have my ballot right here. Oh well, it says you already did. And then you have to haggle with them a long time, and they said, well don't worry Jeff, your ballot, it'll get worked out in the wash. And so we went down to the Secretary of State and said, well, which ballot counted? The first ballot that was in or the second ballot that he actually turned in? They said, well, it'll work its way out in the wash. What happened was they said, whatever ballot makes it there first is the ballot that counts. So if you were the Secretary of State and you could pre-fill out ballots and mark it with the signature from the DMV and mail it directly to the elections office, the elections workers wouldn't know. The machine scans the signature. It says that that's a valid signature, right? And then it just opens it up and processes the ballots. Well, most people don't vote. We know that there's probably 75% of the people that aren't voting, right? And so they could in every county decide that they were going to put extra ballots for the candidate that they want in there and pretty much select any candidate that ever runs locally at the state level or at the federal level.
Gavin Newsom. I mean, is that right? How Gavin Newsom got reelected after he was recalled? Like, that was bizarre to me. I could not believe that after everything that dude's done, he got put back in after being recalled. And I know it's because of, you know, San Francisco and LA and all these big blue cities that pretty much run the whole state, which sucks for us up here. But there, I mean, and it wasn't that kind of a thing in 2020 too, where they were looking at how the signatures looked like they were printed on the ballot rather than a wet signature that was actually signed. Is that where you were kind of going with that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. There, if you could, so like locally, we just had the supervisor races for the county, and one of the supervisors beat his recall by 47 votes, right? So if I wanted to influence an election by printing those things, like we were just talking about and how it happened in 2020, you could throw in 50 or 60 votes. No one would know the difference, right? And you could win. Even for a state election, you could go to all the other counties and do the same thing. So that's where I was going. It actually has been done, and the ballot that gets put in first is the ballot that counts. So you would never know, like if me and you went down with our ballot on election day, or we just mailed it in, we wouldn't know if someone else turned in a ballot for us, right? Because we would never question it. We're like, oh, we voted, it went in, we got a little thing, like if you had signed up for it, hey, I voted, hey, look, I voted. Well, you didn't. How do you know that your ballot was the first one to make it in? You don't.
That's so bizarre.
Right? Well, and you never will. So that's where I think the big people. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I think we have a lag on your connection's a little wobbly, so I think we're getting a lag in there. But that's where everybody was questioning the vote by mail or, you know, pre-voting thing, and they kind of blamed that in 2020, at least on COVID, like, vote by mail because it's so much safer and you don't have to go into a voting booth. And who knows? Who knows where those went or if those even counted or if they doubled them or copied them, ran them through multiple times? Like, these are all the ideas that came out. But it makes sense with Biden. I mean, come on.
Right. And then, you know, you go down the whole rabbit trail of the machines. Is the machine connected to the internet? Yes, some of them are, some of them aren't. In some counties, in America, did the ballots get flipped from Biden or from Trump to Biden? They found out that was true. How many? We don't know, because they said that was only in that one county that happened. It couldn't have happened in any other county. I don't believe that, you know. I think if it could happen one place, it could happen anywhere.
Yeah, especially when if they are connected to the internet, yeah.
So that's just two ways. Yeah. So, I mean, I would say our elections have issues for sure. And it would be nice if it was straightforward. And we went back, I was arguing with my, obviously I'm a Republican, my Democrat friend, I was arguing with him. I said, hey, how about we go back to 2020? No mail-in ballots. You can't do any mail-in ballots except if the way we used to have it. It was you're in the military or you request an absentee ballot. But no mass mail-in ballots. And then we do a do-over, and we only count what happens on election day. I said, would you go for that? And they're like, oh, no. Well, his side won that one, right? So if we actually went back to the same day voting, I would have put a little bit more trust in the system. But with the mass mail-in voting, who's to say, you know, other counties, they were... In other states, people were paying for ballots, right? I could go up to you and offer you $50. Give me your ballot. And these people, the money is big. Like, we think in a local election, when we spend like maybe $5,000 or $10,000, that's a lot of money. These guys have big global organizations that are trying to influence elections and paying people millions of dollars to ballot harvest and collect ballots. So if you have a whole month to do that, is the American people really picking your president, or is it a big global agency picking it for you?
Yeah. And it does seem like it. So I always go bigger when I think about this kind of thing, because I'm like, it doesn't really matter. To me, it doesn't matter how they you know, how we vote or anything. If there's a will, there's a way. And when there's a will with a big enough wallet behind it, they will find a way to do what they want. And I think the control structure goes way beyond the politicians and the people that we see all the time on TV. I mean, look at Biden. He's not running anything. He's up there shitting his pants, barely being able to string a sentence together. You think that guy's really running anything? I think he's just signing things because they told him, Grandpa, you get an ice cream if you sign this, you know. And, okay, can I go to bed now? So, I mean, and take your pick on which global organization would be behind that. My guess would be things like the WHO, the WEF, all these big things that have been really in the public eye the last 4 years especially, but they seem to be the ones that are pushing a lot of these agendas, at least in these policies that are happening. So, I mean, where do you think, how far would you go down the rabbit hole with that? Like, who's the ultimate bad guy? I mean, I guess as a Christian, you would say Satan, but like who's his earthly counterpart that's running everything?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we got, there's so many. Yeah, we got the WHO is just one means to an end, but behind all of it, you know, was Klaus Schwab and his buddies up there. You got the billionaire elites that think they know better than you and they want you to eat bugs and be fine with it. You have, I would even venture to say, when they do say that Russia wants to influence, I don't think that Russia is the only one that wants to influence our election. To be honest, if I was a big superpower in the world and I had billions of dollars, of course I would influence your election, right? If I was China, I was India, whoever I was like, no, I'm going to pay people a lot of money to make sure my candidate wins one way or another through several small donations, if that's the case, or hiring outside people to come in and thwart the will of the people by buying ballots. I mean, I think it's, we probably would never know, but the main evil, I would have to say, is the probably some elite people that think they know better than everybody else that want money and control. And I think a lot of people, you know, England was pretty mad when we broke away from them. You know, there was a kingdom that had pretty much control of the whole world, right? Just kind of like Rome and Greece at the time. And they all fell. They got too big. But, you know, in America, we broke away from that system. But I think there's enough people out in the world that want us to go back to where we'll eat bugs and be fine with it. And we'll work and toil on the land and we'll be little grunts and we'll just be a number and they'll collect the money and they'll tell us how to live. And that's how they want to go back to. But I think there might be enough of us at this time to say no. Right.
Yeah. And it's funny when you say it's not just Russia, obviously not. I mean, China's got a huge stake in
China,
this.
China.
If anybody thinks China isn't one of the most number one dangers to the states right now, you're insane. It's not this, oh, it's Russia or it's Palestine or all these things that keeps getting pushed. They really kind of steer clear, especially the media, of, you know, talking about China at all. Because if you talk about China, then you're a racist somehow. But, you know, that's a different topic. But I mean, as far as the economic, you know, implications of all this, where do you think that's going? Because it looks to me like the dollar is just taking a big fat nosedive and they're doing this push towards Klaus Schwab's Great Reset, and they want to get these digital coins in, the CBDCs, and all these things that you kind of hear about on the fringes. But where do you think that's going?
I mean, they would love nothing more to have everybody go to Bitcoin and then buy Bitcoin, right? I mean, right? Because I have a lot of friends that love the Bitcoin. I mean, I have some Bitcoin, right? And they say, well, it's not regulated by any government. Well, right now. Not yet. So what, we're going to put all of our money in Bitcoin. And then these governments that have more money known to man will go to Bitcoin. They'll buy it. And then they'll change everything the way that Bitcoin. So, I mean, yeah, they just, it's the world. There is a bunch of people in the world that have way more money than us. They want to tell us how to live. And doesn't matter if it's digital currency or whatever policies, mandates, they are going to force it on the common guy that just wants to raise his kids, you know, love his wife, work, go on vacation and have some grandkids and look back at his life and said, you know, I had a pretty good life. I worked, I enjoyed it. My kids are grown. They have kids of their own. I left a legacy. Whether that is, I have a small house or I live in an apartment or I have a big house and I live in a farm. It doesn't matter. You know, people, when they get down to the end of their days, they're going to look back and they're going to look at their life and say, I live pretty good. But you have a group of people that don't have that interest for you. They'd rather everybody had the same cookie cutter house because everything is fair and there's no discipline. There's no ramifications for bad behavior. You know, they want control of your kids. So it's an interesting world we live in. So I think, the cryptocurrency, it's going to be here in a matter of time anyways, because all of our dollars are pretty much digital. When you get your paycheck, it goes right to your bank and you never really pull out cash for the most part. So cash is going to go by the wayside. We just opened a business account and they said, well, if you if you put more than $5,000 worth of cash in at one time, we're going to charge you 30 cents for every $100 that you put in your bank account. You're like, really? Like, I mean, I don't have that kind of cash. You know, maybe, you know, if I started selling marijuana or something, right?
That's expensive to get into too.
Yeah, I know. I come in with 10 grand, you're going to charge me 30 cents for every $100. It's like, you got to be kidding me. So, yeah. They're really discouraging anybody from participating in the cash anymore. So I would say in the next 10 years, I mean, is there a possibility we won't have a cash-based system? 10 years, probably.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about that because I don't know enough about Bitcoin or crypto. I mean, I've messed around with it a little bit here and there and made a couple $100, you know, on Bitcoin rise and fall. But I don't, and I know there's a bunch of people out there that listen that know a lot more about this than I do. And you might be right. I don't know. But there's some people that swear by Bitcoin as the answer to all the problems. But I still don't see where the inherent value of Bitcoin is, because it's not really backed by anything except for the mining of it.
Right.
And I've gone rounds with people on this, and I can't wrap my head around it. Either they don't know as much about it as they think, or they just haven't been able to explain it to me in a way that my dum-dum can understand, because I don't get where the inherent value in Bitcoin is or with any of these coins. And right. I know Bitcoin's kind of the king because of the hash and all these, you know, security measures, and it can't be hacked. And like, I just don't trust that. Anything digital to me can be hacked if you have a powerful enough computer and know what you're doing. I think that everything can be hacked at some point, especially in the future. And I definitely don't trust like a government coin or CBDC, because that's even less valuable. I mean, even now, cash isn't worth anything anyway. And it was kind of manufactured to be like that. And I go back to, you know, they say, oh, gold and silver are the only real value things. And I'm like, at the end of the day, even those are just shiny rocks. I was trying to tell that to my kid the other day. I'm like, I never understood how that got started as currency back in the ancient times, where somebody found gold and was like, you know what? I will give you 6 of these gold rocks if you give me a chicken. And the other guy was like, that sounds good. I will take those 6 shiny rocks and give you this chicken. Where's the value for that guy at that point, back in ancient times? Like, what's
right
now? I get it. It's a raw material and blah, blah, blah. But wouldn't it be better if that same guy was like, hey, I have a goat. I'll give you 14 chickens for the goat. Okay, cool. Now we both get value and we're trading, you know, valuable items together. Or I have a cow. I will till your fields for the next 6 months, you know, or, you know, whatever. That's value for value thing. And I just didn't understand where the whole trading shiny rocks in, and then that got turned into paper and everybody just accepted that as money. And now it's just this etheric thing that you're trading numbers on your phone, and that's your money. Like you said, you never really pull cash out. My check goes into my bank account, and then it's zeros and ones that go out to my bills, and I never really even see it. It's already digital. It's just called dollars still. So,
right. Yeah. And I think, I mean, there's a lot of different historical things. I mean, the Knights Templar made a way for people to travel and do a pilgrimage and like be able to take their money with them by saying, hey, you got some money or possessions here that are worth value. When you get to the other place, we'll have money or possessions there so that you can travel and buy and sell. And it's like, okay, well, I can understand how you'd need some kind of monetary system if you're going to travel beyond where you live, right?
Right.
But when this is where I get arguments with my friends. I'm like, if the world really ends, there's no Bitcoin, there's no cash. You come to me with a bunch of shiny rocks, and I'm going to tell you to get lost because I need to eat. Like,
that's what I mean.
You know, do you have any, do you have guns and bullets so I can go hunting? Right. Do you have a bow and arrow? You got some fishing? Like, what can we do? I'll stitch you up, you know, in trade. It's going to come down to trade, because if the world really ends, or, you know, let's say they, what is that? electronic bomb goes off and you can't access anything and nothing electronic works, you don't have any dollars, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, when I think of, you know, terrorist organizations coming to attack America, that one movie that they blamed Obama on, I don't know if you watched that one where the planes were flying in into the beach and just everything was falling and the Teslas were driving and crashing and they had released all these different things and blaming it on different countries. But that was the whole idea, that you turned off the system, no one could participate, and it caused chaos and delusion. And I think that's probably what would happen if they did that, right? And I think that's what kind of like what we're seeing with politics and with whoever's trying to control us, is they want to create so much chaos and division that we're always battling each other and never looking to the guy that's causing the problem.
100%. We try to preach that as much as possible here, where they, I mean, you can see it. And I think a lot more people are kind of seeing it now. And I'm interested to see what the next couple months will bring before the election, because that's usually when they start some race war stuff and blame it on cops or, you know, whatever. I mean, this happened in 2020 with George Floyd. Everybody knows that. And
yeah,
I think a lot more people are actually realizing that that is a division tactic. And it always happens on cue right before an election to split the votes and pit the people against each other. And I've said it a million times, but when I go out, especially where we live, when I go out day to day, I don't see any of the things that they're telling me is going on. And I get it. I'm localized here in my area, but I talk to a lot of people all over the world and they're saying the same thing. They're like, I go out, everybody gets along for the most part. Everybody's really pretty cool to each other. And then you get on and you watch the news or you pull up your TikTok or whatever, and all you see is black people hitting white people and white people, you know, cops killing black people and all this stuff. And yes, that happens, obviously, but day to day it's pretty chill. So you can tell it's just a psychological maneuver to get you to think a certain way, and it's disgusting.
Right. Like right now, the biggest push is to, and you can see it because the algorithms on Facebook, Instagram, even X right now, what they're doing is, it's Pride Month, right? And so there's people that love Pride Month. There's people that don't like Pride Month. There's people that could care less. The people that say you do you. But what are they going to do to people that are religious? They're going to show them a bunch of Pride stuff. And they're going to, the people that are, you know, maybe against that, they're going to come back and they'll say, hey, you know, we don't like that. Or they'll make a post. And I posted something about, you know, Jesus loves everybody. And we all sin, and we have our own version of sin. And the beautiful thing is God forgives us, you know, and we're all without, everybody has sin. And so we all need forgiveness. Right. And that would be, to me, would be like, oh, okay, well, everybody could agree that, you know, we all have our own vices. Right. And we all get hung up and no one is blameless at all. Right. But some people took that as like, oh, you're against the Pride people. You hate them. You actually hate these people. And I said, no, I love everybody. I'm just saying we all have our own version of sin or vanity or pride or the seven deadly sins. No one here is without blame, right? And they're like, oh, no, except for these folks. These guys over here are without blame. So they're trying to cause this division right now between, let's say, the LGBT community and everybody else. And if you say anything bad about Pride Month, then, you know, you're a hateful bigot. But if you agree with everything they say, then you're a hero and a fellow to the cause. So right now, I'm like, man, I have cousins that are in that lifestyle, and I have friends that are in that lifestyle, and I love all of them, right? But people don't want to, especially on social media. But if you interact face to face, like real humans, none of that, like you're saying, none of that actually exists. When we actually meet each other, we're hanging out and we're working and we're loving on each other and hugging everything, you know, we're raising our families together. None of that actually exists. But the people upstairs that want to control you, they want to like push you to hate each other.
Yeah. And it's so glaringly obvious. I mean, to anybody who's looked into these things at a more than a surface level, it's pretty obvious that that's what's going on. You see it everywhere. And it's like you said, it's Pride Month. So maybe the algorithm's going to show you like pride parades with, you know, rainbow dildos and kids' faces just to get you riled up and be like, oh, this has got to stop. And then you make a post and then somebody fires back at you. And not only is that divisive, but it's also the algorithm wants that on social media because it drives interaction. So they're finding things that get you riled. This has been a study that was done a few years ago now where they found that the more outraged you are about a post, the more likely you are to interact and stay on the website or on that app. So they're not going to show you puppies and kittens and stuff unless you follow a lot of puppies and kitten accounts like I do, but right. Mm-hmm. They're not going to really show you that, especially during, you know, times of tension, because they want you to be on the app longer. So they're going to show you something that pisses you off so that you react and then somebody else reacts and you get into this stupid, you know, argument on your phone with a total stranger you've never met that may well be a bot. That's why I refuse to do that now. Like I post a lot of offensive things on our Instagram page, and I just refused, for the most part, I refused to, you know, even acknowledge somebody comes in and says something that's obviously either a very brainwashed individual or it's a bot that's trying to drive interaction or something. I'm just like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm closing my phone now and I'm going to go outside and sit by my pool. I'm done.
You know who was great at that? Who set a great example? Trump. with his mean tweets. Everybody, they're like, oh, he's so mean. He would just drop a tweet, a meme or something, and then people would just war with each other for days and about how horrible it was. And they're like, oh, he probably is sitting back and watching this. I'm like, you know, he probably is not. He probably just dropped some truth out there, or what he perceived to be truth at the time. Yeah. Everybody... And he was like, yeah, this was great. This is great. And moved on. Like most. And that's what I was like, you know, I'm going to do that from now on. It's like there's no use of like trying to argue with someone that you know that you're just going to disagree with them. And you're going to argue with them for several days over something that you both are going to disagree with.
Yeah, I don't have time in the day. I work all day. And then when I am not working, I want to do anything but argue with people. I'll argue, like, if you want to come on the show and have a long form conversation where we can do this, fine. I'm not typing at you all night. That's stupid. But it is funny when you'll, because I do the same thing. I post and ghost. I fire something off and just see where it goes. A couple days later, you come back and I'm like, whoa, that started a shit storm. Right. I didn't know was coming. Then I'll scroll through some comments and be like, ha, that's funny. And then, and now I'm done again. Like, good.
It's a beautiful thing. And sometimes you post something and you're like, well, people really like this. Doesn't go anywhere. And that something that you were like, oh yeah, that's really funny. You didn't think anything of it, and you just kind of share it. You know, 1,000 posts later, people are warring with each other. You're like, really? That's the thing that got you going? Like that has nothing to do with anything. But I guess somebody somewhere got it.
Happens all the time where I post some innocuous thing, some 5-second clip that I just thought was funny, and 15 million views later I'm like, that was the one out of everything I post, that was the one that got everyone either happy or sad or angry, or it's mostly a mix of all of that. But so speaking of algorithms, so we're going to close up here in a minute, or about 10 minutes. Before we get out of here, though, I wanted to get your opinion on the climate change thing, because speaking of algorithms, this has been just inundating my feed, the climate change thing. And before everyone gets riled up and says, you don't know the science behind climate change, but no, I don't. But what I do know is that the climate's always changing. It always has and probably always will.
Yeah.
And if you want to get really deep in the weeds and look at the sky every once in a while and then tell me that it's man-made. Yeah, probably is man-made. Look at the fucking sky.
Yeah.
That's not natural. That's not normal. No. That's not things that have happened for the last, you know, 30 years. Like I remember the skies in the 90s didn't look like this. Go outside on any given day. Tell me there's not something up with that.
Or how low the clouds are now. Just that. Just watch and see next time when they spray the stuff in the sky, how low your clouds will be. So I met this guy, right? It was a patient of mine. And I said, what do you do for work? He says, oh, I install water filters in Mount Shasta. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Have you done that your whole life? He's an old guy. He's all, no, actually, I worked for the government most of my life, seeding the sky and seeding the clouds. I was like, oh, you're just, you know, bullshitting me, aren't you? He's all, no, actually, no. He's all, we had one base down in Death Valley. We had another base over there in Colorado. And I was like, oh, okay, well, tell me how you seeded the clouds back then. He said, well, we get a bunch of silver nitrate and we would release it into the sky and propel it up into the clouds. And he said it was great because what we would do is we would influence the weather by, if we saturated the clouds with enough silver nitrate crystals, basically it would mimic it being saturated with water. And then, you know, of course, that whole cascade of events, we'd get more water in California, which would water all the crops, which would produce a better yield. And it was better for us because California was making more food for the nation and more food for the world. We're doing a great job. And over in Colorado, we would influence the weather by putting all the silver nitrate crystals up. And over there, they were having a problem because the snow was coming down and it was too hard. Kind of like the snow we used to get in Shasta County, right? It was like hard, compact, wet, and it would crush the wheat and it would crush the corn and your crops would fail. He said, so if we supersaturated the clouds, then what happens is when the snow comes down or the hail comes down, it's very light, you know, like that Colorado fluffy light snow that they like to ski on. He's like, it would come down so light, it wouldn't crush everything. It would kind of insulate it and we'd lose less crops. I was like, well, thanks for explaining that to me. I said, how long did you do that? He's all, oh, about 30 years. I was like, oh, I said, so what do you guys still do that? He's all, no, we use planes for that. We don't. I was like, and sure enough, now they're coming out with, oh, we actually do seed the clouds. Oh, we do. We actually alter the weather based on what we would like. So is it a conspiracy theory to say they once did it because of crops and different things, but now I could seed the clouds based on an election cycle and I could make it rain really heavy in November when people like to do same day voting and make it really hard for you to show up at the polls because you don't want to brave the rain or the snow or the sleet, right? And get less people to vote on election day. I would say that that could be true, right?
Yeah. And that's at a really like practical level for that kind of thing. But I mean, I literally just talked to my buddy Ron last week about this exact topic. And my thing was when I try to not convince people, but when if they're new to like, if you hear the word chemtrail, they're like, oh, yeah, you're crazy. Okay, well, just do a Wikipedia search on geoengineering and weather modification. Yeah. Tell me what you think about it. And we did that last week. I actually pulled up Wikipedia articles on this thing. It's a thing they admit to doing, but they've also denied it for the last like 60 years, ever since the Vietnam War. At least that's as far back as I'm aware of. But so the fact that they're denying it, I was telling my friend the other day, I'm like, let's just imagine that all it is they're trying to make it rain more for our benefit. And it's totally fine. It's, you know, benign. They're just trying to make it rain so we get better crops. Fine. Why are you denying it then? Why is that something that's got to be hidden if it's all good? That makes me think maybe there's hidden dangers, or maybe it's on purposely not good. Because they found other things in a lot of these, the residue is like barium and strontium and all these weird chemicals that aren't just silver nitrate seeding the clouds. There's other stuff in there. And as far as the pilots know, maybe that's what they think. It's just silver nitrate and they're making it rain better. Okay, whatever. Yeah. You don't know what else to put the fuck they're putting in those tanks or whatever, you know? It's not a widespread conspiracy. It could just be a few people that know what they're putting in those tanks.
Right. You could go to Agent Orange during Vietnam and the government just denied. Oh, the GIs never got sprayed with it. Oh, now even my grandpa, he ended up having prostate cancer. Why? Because of Agent Orange. What else do they find in Agent Orange is like amiodarone. You're like, why is amiodarone, a drug meant for cardiac arrhythmias, doing in Agent Orange? Well, they needed to decrease the, it was an herbicide, but they put all sorts of horrible stuff in there, and they can still find it in the groundwater over in Vietnam and in the plants. So that's 100%. Our government doesn't have our best interest at mind, and they'll put anything in those chemicals to seed everything. I asked the gentleman that was seeding the clouds, I said, would you drink the water after it rained? He said, no. I said, would you eat the snow after it fell? He's like, absolutely not. I was like, yeah. He's like, well, when you put chemicals in this clouds and it comes down, it's not water. You know, well, it is water and mixed with all the other things, right? So people wonder why their immune systems are down. You wonder why your endocrine system is angry. You wonder why, you know, we have so much cancer and all sorts of other things. It's like when you're getting a daily dose of environmental chemicals sprayed on you, it's probably not a good thing.
Yeah, you think. And that's on top of everything else. And we actually had this argument too, where I'm like, yes, grow your own food. That's going to be 100% better for you than most of the things you can get in the store. But then it makes me think of what water you're watering it with and what's in the soil already, what kind of heavy metals. And no, we had that conversation with the lady. And I'm like, it is better than nothing though. Like if you can grow a backyard garden, have right. your own chickens, it's still going to be probably 100% better than most of the things you can buy at the store, but it's still going to be in there. I mean, it's in the air, it's in the water, it's everywhere. Right. We're just, and what do they want? They want fat, lazy, dumb Americans that just believe everything they hear, are docile, and just do what they're told. Who wouldn't want that? If you're a controlling class, why wouldn't you want that? You want the dumbest, laziest people you can get that just barely do their jobs enough to keep you going and eat the poison, eat the bugs,
right.
and we'll be good because we're up here in this detached portion of the pyramid. We don't give a shit about, you know, the bottom part.
Yeah.
As long as they do their part.
Yeah. If all of us could just realize that, what you just said, just realize that those people don't have our best intentions in mind, and we could all just locally come together and be like, all right, we're just going to say no. Next time you pass something that's horrible for us, next time that you start to spray us with different things, we're just going to say no. We're going to run for office at a local level. When we want, you know, if we don't agree with the policy, we're just going to tell you no, kick rocks. And if everybody did that with all the different counties, even in California, you could take it back. Right.
Oh yeah.
And some people are like, oh, what is taking back look like? I'm like, you and your neighbors getting together, running for office and taking back things that are local so that your kids can have a better outcome. That sounds pretty good. Right. So if we all just did that at a local level, we'll be much better.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it was Tennessee that just passed some I think it was Tennessee, don't quote me on that, but passed, like, you can't be spraying shit in our skies over here. So just the fact that passed is weird. Why would you need to pass a bill if it's something that isn't happening and is just a conspiracy theory? So I think, like you said, all these things are coming out now, and more people are noticing, more people are putting their phones down, stop looking at, you know, weird dances on TikTok and all this shit, and they're actually starting to look around and notice what's going on and being like, wait a minute, maybe it's not as crazy as we thought. All these people have been talking crazy shit for the last couple years. Maybe it's not that crazy, and maybe we should do something about it. So I mean, whether it will be too late or not, I don't know. What do you think about that? The next we'll skip right past this election cycle, no matter what happens. What do you think until like Agenda 2030, like 2030, 2035, what do you think that looks like? Do you think there's a massive change, whether it's good or bad? Yeah.
I think you're going to have, well, the thing that I think about is generational change. And I think the kids that are growing up right now are tired of all the shenanigans, right? And I know at least maybe my kids are different because they're raised in a conservative, with conservative values, biblical values, and trained to think a little bit that you can't trust the government. They don't always have your best interest at mind, right? So I have hope for that generation, because after coming out of the pandemic and they could actually tangibly see that their government doesn't care for them like the way that they would want them to, or maybe your employer valued their job more than your job. Moving into 2030, I think there's a lot of oppositional defiance that will happen. And it's been a little bit growing and growing over the next 4 years. So I have hope that as we merge, it doesn't matter who wins this presidential election, there'll be people pissed off on both sides. But if we could control that anger and be like, all right, you're pissed off, but who should we actually be pissed off at? Right?
Yeah.
We're not pissed off at our neighbor, right? So don't blame it on your neighbor. They didn't do anything. But blame it on the people that don't have your best interest in mind. If we just keep on focusing on that and just leading people to the truth, I think we could gather enough people together. By 2030, we're not going to be controlled by a global organization. Being that said, if you do have Christian values and you believe in the Bible, at some point we will be controlled by a global organization.
Well, they're well on their way. If that is the goal, and they're doing a bang up job of getting that done. And the only way it can be stopped is by, you know, individuals, local level, doing what you can.
Yeah.
Go vote if you feel like that's necessary. If you feel like one is lesser evil than the other, by all means, go vote for them. I don't care anymore, especially at the federal level. I'm not even, I'm exiting the system as far as that's concerned. I'm just not playing playing their game anymore. But well, thanks, dude. Thanks for coming on. And besides your Facebook page, so are you going to be like coming out with a YouTube or your own podcast or anything like that? Because you probably should.
Yeah, no, I probably should. My wife has one called We the Parents, and she does that one with her buddy Leslie. And at some point, I'll probably do a podcast and get people on. I like to connect. I've connected with tons of people all across the country just to like network and do things. And it's funny because we all agree pretty much on the same things. And just kind of like you, it's like, okay, we all know that we need to do something. And we need to gather our people together at a local level and move forward. And but yeah, I'll probably come out with a podcast at some point.
Nice. That'd be awesome. Do you mind if I put your email address out there, or do you want that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. No. So I'll put your you Facebook.
I put my phone number on pretty much everything I post, and people are like, why do you do that? I said, well, you'd be surprised that I don't really get very many calls, but.
And also, what are you going to do? Text me to death? Who cares?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so I'll put your Facebook, your email, and all that stuff in the show notes, too, if anybody has any questions or, you know, wants to delve further into anything we talked about.
Yeah.
And that'll do it, I guess, for this week. And we will see everybody next week. Thank you, everybody on Rockfin, YouTube, and audio. We'll catch you guys next week.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Legit Bad. Please address all content grievances to gofuckyourself@yourmom.com. See you next week.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.